Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Okay, you've asked a few questions like, what do you mean by that? You're in a conversation, you've discovered the great utility of, rather than defending your Christian convictions by simply making propositional statements, there's a time and place for that, by the way. The best way to engage the person who's skeptical or of a different opinion or a different position is to start asking questions, gather information. Then there comes a time when you need to proffer some ideas of your own position. How do you do it? We've been talking about the Columbo tactic with Greg Kokel in this series on how to discuss your Christian convictions. And we've come this far, and now we need to talk about that question that introduces your opponent to an idea they may have never considered. In fact, the question is so simple. Have you ever considered blank? Now, we're giving away Greg Kokel's new book to our listeners with the best questions or comments. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, the 18th of February, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Greg Kokel is president of Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California, author of the new book, Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd. Good to talk to you again.
All right, summarize where we've been so far with the Columbo tactic, and then what's the next step?
Well, we've been talking, Todd, about the tactical advantage of leading with questions, that is, starting off or an engagement or a conversation using questions. The tactical advantage, of course, in general, is that when you ask questions, the other person is doing the talking. You don't have to do the talking. They are complimented by your interest in them. You're building a relationship with back and forth discussion, and you are getting valuable information in the process, either information about what it is they believe, and that's the first Columbo question, the model question, what do you mean by that, or some variation. And then you're also hopefully getting from them some of the reasons that they hold the views they hold. So you're getting not just their view, but their argument. And this is where the second Columbo question comes in, some variation of, now how did you come to that conclusion? This then puts you in a position now, since you are in possession of all of this information, and you also have a genial kind of environment because you've been discussing in a warm and in interactive way these issues, to then begin to, in a sense, make your own case or begin to try to undermine their case using the third use of Columbo and using the questions to put forth something positive of one sort or another.
Okay, so the next question is something to the effect of, have you ever considered, you're introducing an idea, have you ever considered blank? It strikes me that you really have to be paying attention to what your opponent has been saying up to this point to introduce a new idea, just the right new idea at this point.
Yeah, that's right, Todd. I often explain, when I give an initial talk on this, I say I'm going to give you a game plan that allow you to maneuver with any person in any circumstance, no matter how little you know or how much the other guy knows, basically. But that's the first two steps. When you get into the third step, then you got to know something. You have to know where you're going to lead the person. And the third step, in a word, is that you use questions to lead them to a certain place. I encourage people to think of themselves like an archer shooting at a target, and the questions are your arrows. So in order to shoot the arrows at the target, you got to know where the target is, or in this case, what the target is. And it could be a couple of different things. It might be a way of helping people understand something they already know, but they haven't really thought about it. It might be a matter of just, you know, you're taking exception with their point of view to offer a new point of view that they haven't considered, and therefore your, in a sense, your lead-in comment will be what you suggested. Have you ever considered? And then fill in the blank. Now, you have to be able to fill in the blank here, and that's the difficulty of going to the third step of Columbo. We've talked in the last couple of days about what it means to be a good ambassador, and we're talking in tactics about maneuvering in a diplomatic fashion. But part of what an ambassador needs is a certain knowledge base. And if you don't have the knowledge base, if you don't know what's wrong with another person's view, or you don't understand the Christian view very well, it's going to be hard to, in a sense, choose that as a target to shoot your question arrows at, you know, to lead the conversation in a new way. So this third use of Columbo steps up the ante a little bit and requires that you, as you pointed out, Todd, be paying attention so that you know where you want to go with your conversation.
Okay, so Craig, give me a question to ask you in favor of abortion, for example, and apply the tactic to me. What would be the question?
Well, I guess in the case of abortion, there's a number of different directions you could go. Let me just give you one common challenge. When I make the case against abortion that it takes the life of an innocent human being, and that it does that is simply a scientific matter. Something is killed, obviously, and the thing that is killed is a human being. People will often say, well, maybe they're human, that is the unborn, but they're not persons. So this is a parry now. They're trying to dismiss the unborn, even though they're human, because they don't qualify for personhood. So now my question is going to be, what's the difference? What's the difference? You see, what they've done is made the assertion that there are some human beings that ought to be protected, you and I, and some human beings that don't deserve protection, the unborn, and the distinction between the two is something that they call personhood. Well, I don't think that's a reasonable distinction, and I have a number of reasons to think that. But instead of trotting out all of my reasons, I am going to, for tactical purposes, try to undermine his view by asking the question that challenges the distinction itself. So I say, what's the difference? Now the ball's in his court. He's going to have to tell me, what are the relevant distinctions between the unborn and the born that justifies in killing the first and protecting the second? Notice that the question is guided by my understanding of the problems with the pro-abortion view, in this case the issue of personhood, but instead of, in a sense, lecturing, I am using the question to do the work. It's easy to ask. It's a tactically sound question. I toss the ball back in their court, and now it's their turn to do the heavy lifting once again. Notice I'm not asking for information. I'm not asking for reasons. Those are the first two questions. I am actually using the question to lead them. And what I'm trying to lead them to see is that the distinction between personhood and non-personhood with regards to human beings is an unreasonable distinction.
Oh, this is, I think, where, you know, the first two parts of Columbo are the pretty quick study. You know, you learn to use this. But this is the tough one. This is the one where you really have to stop and think, what am I trying to accomplish?
That's right.
How do I, rather than getting stumped at this point, say, okay, I always get to part one and two, and I can never make it to three. How do I pre-plan or in some sense, think this through so that when I get there, I do know where I want to lead with that leading question?
Right. Well, I'm glad that you use the word pre-plan, because this is an important part of the process. The value of having a game plan like this, or having this particular game plan that I describe in the book Tactics, a game plan for discussing your Christian convictions, is that it's easy to get in play. But you don't want to stay, in a sense, at the novice stage. You don't want to just be asking those questions. What you want to be able to do is to be in play, but also be in the process of reflecting and reading and studying and asking other people about some of the things that come up. So you're building your knowledge category of a good ambassador. Remember, an ambassador has three qualities: knowledge, wisdom, tactical wisdom, and character. So we want to build that knowledge thing. And one way we do that is we first get stumped on something. And we think, all right, I got stumped there in that conversation. So we're doing a postmortem. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Gee, what could I have done better? Maybe my facts weren't very good, or maybe I just didn't know some facts. Okay, so I'm going to go to the books, I'm going to the website, I'm going to go to the podcast or whatever, I'm going to call my friend who knows more about this or whatever, and get the facts, so now I'm prepared with the facts next time around. Incidentally, when you do that homework, because you've been stonewalled on some question or challenge, and then you get the facts that you think answer, you're not done yet. What you want to do now from a tactical perspective is ask yourself, how can I use my new knowledge on this particular thing and form it into a question that does the work for me instead of the just, in a sense, preaching it, brother, you know, because we don't want to surrender the tactical advantage if we don't have to.
Let's take a break right here, Greg, because when we come back, I want to talk about so often the tactical advantage is surrendered inadvertently. By the time it's been surrendered, you're looking around saying, how did he take it away? Where did I lose it? And how do we find the flaws in the other person's argument or the other person's statements? That's a key to this part of the Colombo tactic, is looking for and finding the flaws there so that the tactical advantage can be used to the best advantage. Now, you can find out more about Greg Kokel's new book, Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. Think it's one and it's a blues goodbye. You think it over, yes, think it over. Only heart grows cold and old. What kind of physical and mental anguish did Jesus endure in the hours leading up to his death? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled He Was Crucified. It's written by medical doctor Gerald Stanley. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase He Was Crucified by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Enrich your meditation on Christ's passion with He Was Crucified, 1-800-325-3040.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today, in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending life from beginning to end. Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
Think about it, baby. Listen, you really, really ought to think about before you leave.
We're talking about asking the right question, the leading question that will help you stay in control of the conversation as you discuss your Christian convictions. Greg Kokel is our guest. Now, listeners with best questions or comments, we'll get Greg's new book, Tactics. Our email address on this Wednesday, the 18th of February, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Let's talk about finding the flaws. Sometimes it's so easy to get distracted. You don't see the flaws, even when they're glaringly obvious. What's your best advice there, Greg?
Well, I have two things to say about that, Todd. I actually don't usually see the flaws right out of the gate. If I'm talking with somebody and you're kind of caught up in this, a lot of times I do better now than I used to because I have more of a sense of how these things work, so they appear to me more readily. But still, a lot of times I miss it until after the conversation is over, you know, and it's in reflection that I get it. So I don't want people to be so hard on themselves that they think, gee, I got to get everything right every time. I don't do that. So I don't see it right out of the gate much of the time. But when I do, it's usually because I'm employing some other tactic. Those who get the book will see it's broken down into two sections. The first section is the game plan, and that is the Columbo tactic, which is the structure of your interaction. But the second half of the book, which I think we'll be talking about in the next couple of days, is finding the flaws. And there are different tactics that are in place to help you to see different types of flaws. The suicide tactic, for example, is the first one that I talk about in the book, and that is that some arguments or points of view just end up self-destructing, and all we have to do is recognize when that's the case, like when people say there is no truth. Well, they think this is a true statement, don't they? So obviously there's a problem with this response, since I see the problem because I understand the nature of the suicide tactic, which I explain in actually quite a bit of detail in the book. I've got two or three chapters just on that because it's such a big problem. Then I can recognize it when it comes up, and then I use a question to try to point it out. There are other problems that have to do with facts. You know, if you're, maybe the people's facts are wrong, and this is where just the facts, ma'am, comes in as a tactic. We have a thing called taking the roof off, where you can see if you take the person's point of view as true for the sake of argument, you follow where it leads, and sometimes it leads to absurd consequences, and this then becomes a problem with their view. And so there are ways that we talk about in the book, I talk about in the book, on how to exploit that particular kind of flaw. And so the ability to see the flaws, I think, Todd, is a quality or a capability that we develop over time. But it's not as hard as people think. It's like a lot of this stuff, the first time through, it seems confusing. There's new categories, new vocabulary and stuff like that. But after you start trafficking in the ideas, it starts to make a lot more sense. And then it becomes second nature. And that's really what we're after.
Okay, what if the person with whom you're having this conversation knows Columbo and they're able to use it too? Perhaps you might even suspect they have less than noble motives.
Well, the Columbo has been around a long time before Lieutenant Columbo. Columbo is a tactic. In fact, Jesus himself used it. That is, he used questions in a clever way, and he used them to entrap other people in some, but he entrapped them legitimately. Others might be trying to do the same with you. If you sense that somebody is trying to trap you with questions as opposed to just gain information or get clarity on what your argument is, that's the time where I want to remind people that they're in control of their side of the conversation. In other words, they don't have to be led anywhere by questions if they don't want to be. They can simply say to the person who they think is leading them down the primrose path with these leading questions, they can just simply say, you know, I'm not really comfortable with the questions. It sounds like you're trying to make a point by using your questions. Maybe it would be better for you just to state your point clearly and state your reasons for it, and then just let me respond. So there's a sense in which you're acknowledging what they're doing. you're not complaining. You're just seeing it for what it is and saying you're not going to participate. Now, if somebody did that to me, Todd, while I was using the Columbo tactic in the third sense, they said, why don't you state your point instead of kind of trying to get there indirectly with a bunch of questions? I'd say, okay, here's my point. I can do that. I would lose a tactical advantage, I think, a little bit at that point, but I'd play along. By the same token, if you are the Christian who is using, who feels that someone else is using the Columbo tactic to lead you into a corner, you could just simply say, you know, I'm not really interested in having a conversation like this, where you're using questions to lead me down this road. I think it'd be better if you just told me directly what you believed, and then there's no confusion. Yeah, I can just respond to that in a clear fashion. And if we don't say that, like kind of with our nose in the air or something, as a complaint, like how dare you abuse me with this tactic, we just say I'm not going to participate. I think people would respond to that and then just drop the questions and make straight up comments that we can respond to.
Dennis in Michigan writes, what response or tactic can be utilized if the other person is being deliberately obtuse or evasive? Will this method function well in this environment?
Well, I think it will to a degree. This is where, what do you mean by that? The first Columbo question is completely in order. Now, if people don't want, if they're deliberately obtuse to the point of not cooperating at all, I don't know how you can continue. I don't try to beat every conversation to death, Todd. I mean, some people are not cooperative. Why do I want to talk to them? I'd rather talk with somebody who wants to talk with me, and there are plenty of people out there like that. So I think there are times when, you know, as Jesus said, you don't throw your pearls before swine. It's figurative speech. He's not saying people are pigs. He's just saying that there are times where you just kind of fold up and go home, and that's not an inappropriate retreat. It's an appropriate judgment on the best use of your time and efforts.
Okay, Dennis, if you would email us your address, I'd be happy to send you a copy. Your mailing address, I'd happy to send you a copy of Greg Kokel's new book, Tactics. Next time, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, we can talk a little bit more detail about some of the ways that we find the flaws. And I think, especially on the heels of Dennis's question, I think it'd be good to talk about a tactic that I call steamroller. And steamroller is a defensive tactic that you have to use against people that are uncooperative, unpleasant, unwilling to play ball in a fair way, but continually interrupt and take the position, take the conversation down rabbit trails. Well, there's a very specific tactic that we use that is very effective with such people, and we can talk about that as well as some other things.
Greg Kokel is president of Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California, and he's author of the new book, Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Check it out at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find information on the book right there. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
Talk with you tomorrow, Todd. Bye-bye.
You know what lies behind all of this in the Columbo tactic or any kind of tactic that you're using? Because I remember when we started this conversation, the danger was to think it's a trick. This is less than honest. What lies behind all of this is honesty, a willingness to be honest with the person with whom you disagree, a willingness to be honest about your own positions, your own lack of knowledge. You know, if you really don't know what the other person's position is, the most honest thing you can do is ask. Now, they might not be honest in return. They might not tell you what their position really is. They might want to play games. You can't control that. The Christian always approaches these things as honestly as possible. Someone says, are you using some sort of tactic on me? You know what? You're a pretty smart person. You kind of figured out what I was doing there. I'm not playing a trick. I really do want to know what you believe. I really do want to gather information on your position, because otherwise we can't have an intelligent conversation. Honesty. And it's not about gaining the upper hand. It's about gaining knowledge and then holding that tactical advantage, not for the sake of simply winning an argument, because if it's about winning arguments, you can employ any old trick you want. People win arguments with dishonest means all day long. They win. They walk away. They've won the prize, but they haven't won the other person over. These kind of debates, these kind of conversations have everything to do with approaching the opponent honestly to win them over. Will you succeed? Mostly not. But the honest attempt is what's called for. Honesty from them, yes. Honesty in your questions and in your own positions. So that you can, if someone says, what are you trying to do? He says, I'm trying to convince you. Honestly. Trying to convince you of the truth of my Christian convictions. Who could blame you for that? Tomorrow we'll continue our series with Greg Kokel discussing your Christian convictions, and we'll discuss the battle for the Bible with Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, with Dr. Paul Zimmerman, talking about honesty. That kind of debate 30 years ago and more didn't always involve honesty. We'll discuss the so-called battle for the Bible with Dr. Zimmerman tomorrow on Issues Etc. When you find someone that you disagree with, there's no reason to panic. There's no reason to get back up on your hind legs and all worried about it. Start asking questions. Start finding out what their position really is, and then present yours honestly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. And thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.